Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, and I bring you hope from the front lines. Just back from that big meeting we told you about in Avalon with Scott Presler and party chairs and donors and the Protect the Whales people, etc. Oh, my goodness. Scott Presler in person is beyond dynamic, talking about what he does and how it works and what's going to happen in New Jersey. He'll be here at 2 today. He tweeted out this morning that the Pennsylvania registration numbers are incredible. The gains for Republicans here. And these are all part of the long term. I mean, he was talking about 2028 on Saturday. So he'll be here. We'll break that down. We'll continue every Monday at 2 o'clock with him. But my attention is both California, but I want to start with the January 6th pardons. J.D. Vance was on exclusively with Shannon Bream yesterday. I'm going to play you what Vance said about it. And I think this is two things. One, Trump essentially never said he was going to pardon every single person. You know, he's in his own Trumpian way and all that. And yet I'm seeing headlines on Twitter saying, oh, man, people are upset by this. Are you? Two, what Vance said he wouldn't say unless the administration was behind it. He's not going to go out there and say what he said without, maybe not word by word, without being in sync with Trump. So here's what J.D. Vance said about the January 6th pardons. I hope something happens on inaugural day. And I think they're looking at this case by case, which is exactly my position. Cut 7.
January.
I'm sorry. Cut. My fault. Cut 10.
What's the deal with Greenland and the Panama Canal? Are we using or considering use of military force in any of those situations?
No, look, we don't have to use military force, Shannon. The thing that people always ignore is we already have troops in Greenland. Mm-hmm. Greenland is really important for America strategically. It has a lot of great natural resources. My friend Donald Trump Jr. was there a couple days ago, and you know what they told him? They want to be empowered to develop. The people of Greenland want to be empowered to develop the resources there. We also need to make sure that Greenland is properly cared for from an American security perspective. And frankly, the current leadership, the Danish government, has not done a good enough job of securing Greenland. I think there actually is a real opportunity here for us to take leadership, to protect America's security, to ensure that those incredible natural resources are developed. And that's what Donald Trump is good at. He's good at making deals. And I think there's a deal to be made in Greenland.
Okay, quickly.
All right. So my thought on that, that was the Greenland thing. It's real. From everybody that I talk with, they believe with Trump, it's real. The Panama Canal just wants a different deal. It's kind of like the arena. Maybe Trump will I'll get involved with the Sixers and these nitwits in Philadelphia in a moment. But on the issue of the pardons, here's what J.D. Vance said.
January 6th pardons, President Trump says there's a process. Where is the line drawn on who will and wouldn't be considered for a pardon?
I think it's very simple. Look, if you protested peacefully on January the 6th and you've had Merrick Garland's Department of Justice treat you like a gang member, you should be pardoned. If you committed violence on that day, obviously you shouldn't be pardoned. And there's a little bit of a gray area there, but we're very much committed to seeing the equal administration of law. And there are a lot of people, we think, in the wake of January the 6th who were prosecuted unfairly. We need to rectify that.
All right. Now, that seems straightforward, but, you know, the devil's in the details. And over the weekend, maybe it's people on the left trying to sow division here. Is that good enough for you for what he said? It seems to pivot on the definition of violence a bit here. You know, like the people breaking into the windows and going inside. I think this is exactly the right way to do. And they can make the point they're not going to forgive egregious cases here and saying, yeah, you plotted this. You were attacking police. We're going to do just like Biden. I don't think it's like that at all. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push pound 1210. Why J.D. Vance in that position getting heat over the weekend? It's exactly on point. It's exactly where the administration should be going. There's no doubt about it. And that's a position that's consistent with what they've said. Now, they also talked. Here's Barbaroso. This is a GOP senator, one of the leaders, you know, one of the establishment. But I think he's making a good point here. He's talking about what should we do? This is going to be a cost, easily $200 billion. Who should pay for that in California? How should that go? And his argument is, well, we're going to pick up the pieces here, as the federal government does, but there will be strings attached. Now, some Republicans, foolhardy, starting trouble already, and Trump's with them on this. They say the string attached is, we'll give you the $200 billion, whatever it ends up being in California, but you are going to have to get rid of the debt ceiling. Well, I'm against both those things. I think we have to do our best we can with California, but the strings attached have to be something with their infrastructure there. Now, I don't know that we could say the mayor's got to go, the governor's got to go. They're not going to do that for the money. But what kind of string can you put on them if we're going to put up quarter of a trillion dollars? All right, here's what Barbarossa said.
I do want to ask you about these fires in California. Do you expect that Congress will have to provide an additional aid package? And if so, when?
But what we're seeing is heartbreaking. It's horrible, affecting people, you know, old and young, rich and poor, everyone in the Wyoming National Guard is there on the scene helping with manpower as well as equipment. When you see what's being shown on television, in addition to the tragedy on the ground, you're also seeing gross mismanagement in California by elected officials. And it's heartbreaking to hear the fire chief say that they've diverted all of this money away from the fire department to be used for social programs when they were already stretched too thin. So, yes, I expect there's going to be hearings. There's going to be requests of Congress. There can't be a blank check on this, however, because people want to make sure that as rebuilding occurs, as things go on in California, they have to be resilient so that these sorts of things can't happen again. And the policies of the liberal administration out there, I believe, have made these fires worse.
Do you expect, though, that Congress and Republicans will still help these Americans in need, even if they don't like their local politics in the party?
I expect that there will be strings attached to money that is ultimately approved, and it has to do with being ready the next time, because this was a gross failure this time.
Yeah, how do you attach the strings to this? In the rebuilding, the things they're going to do, they're ideologues, they're progressives, they're not going to do them. So is that just foolhardy to say it? And again, this is a dire situation with this continuing, there is no doubt. So their argument is, well, when these people were hit with hurricanes in North Carolina, you were complaining. That's pretty different. There's nothing you're going to do about that. Their argument is, well, there is something. You people are in climate denial. Both of these things are about climate. So what kind of strings can you attach to this money? I mean, hopefully we're not going to be like the other side and say, yeah, California deserves it. Look at them, et cetera. And it's not about that. These are real people suffering. Now, on the other hand, something I see a lot of different things in this. Private firefighters have been hired to protect all kinds of Hollywood people, all kinds of bigwigs, and they're paid $2,000 an hour. Private fiber, $2,000 an hour. Now,
off to California.
Yeah, it's one thing. I don't think they're LAPD firefighters. By the way, those guys are making, with overtime, about $200,000 a year. That seems to be a lot. There's a lot of problems with California, how they do things. The problem I have with these private firefighters is, where are they getting all this water from? You know, is that an issue versus those that can't pay someone $2,000 an hour? Now, some of them have fancy sprinkler systems, good on them, that just keep the roof sprayed, etc. And then they have the firefighters there. If there's the slightest sign of trouble coming, they take action. But there's still the issue of water. But if you can afford to do this, well, then you should be able to do it. And most regrettably, over the weekend, we had a sighting. Prince Harry, if he's still a prince, I'm not sure if he is a prince. Here's Prince Harry and Meghan Markle showing up And I watched the clip of this. All I saw her was hand someone like a napkin at the food dispersal. And they both, the woman keeps on saying they had ball hats on. Yeah, one had a Dodgers hat. Henry, I'm not sure what Markle
had on. Yeah, they're wearing Dodger caps. That's it.
Yeah, well, I'd like to ask Markle, who plays first base for the Dodgers, what is first base? You know, where did the Dodgers finish last year? God, here's a little bit of the Markles. Let's not call them the Harrys, but the Markles.
You see, there we have a better shot of Princess Markle as Meghan, as she's wearing that L.A. ball cap and talking to some of the volunteers. You know, not a lot of big fanfare for their arrival, obviously. I'm sure they just wanted to come and offer support well wishes as they are hanging out with the commoners, I guess. That's one way to put it, huh, Marla?
Yeah, yeah. And
oh, my God, these sycophants in Hollywood. Get them out of here. Oh, Meghan Markle's over there giving me a potato chip.
Hanging out with the commoners.
Hanging out with the commoners. That's the Hollywood, Access
Get
Hollywood
the name
types.
Right.
There you go. All right. So jump on board. The January 6th party.
Get them out. Get them out of here.
Is set. Are you okay with that? And in addition to that, Vance made that pretty clear. What are the strings that you would attach? This is a lot of money. And look, not all these are millionaires, Hollywood people. Probably there's like 5,000 of them out of the just unbelievable numbers of people affected. Coming up, I'll play you, though, this actress. I saw her in, not Parks, Community. Show that I sort of like. Luke used to like it. And another actress, I don't know the stuff that she was in. Two black women defending Karen Bass. And this is all about race. First, though, let's give me the side question. Today's a great day. Today is the anniversary of Horatio Alger. All right, the all-time, all this guy did was write the classic Rags to Riches. Rags to Riches. So I'm looking for an all-time, real or fictional, Rags to Riches, only in America. Somebody who grew up poor, but hit it unbelievably big. The first one that came to my mind, because it was so public, is Oprah. And Oprah on her own is the richest woman in America. Now, these others, you know, inherited money and yada, 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 the Waltons and the Walmarts and all that stuff. There may be richer people in that regard. But as far as somebody who made her own money, despite regrettable consequences of some of it, Oprah is it. Now, that should speak well to America. Does that happen in a lot of other countries? I don't see how. So I'm going to take Oprah off the board. We were going to do something with billions. A little bit later, we'll tell you because Doge is promising to try to save at least $1 trillion. They're shooting for $2 trillion. I couldn't figure that out, but I could figure out how much a billion is. We have a few examples of that. And when you hear it, you go, that's only a billion. What the heck is a trillion? Henry, one pop into your mind, Rags to Riches.
Yeah, I mean, the first one that came into my mind immediately was none other than the greatest basketball player of all time, LeBron James, being born to a single teen mother in Akron, Ohio, mm-hmm. and then being able to catapult his local Catholic school into the national spotlight, obviously highlighted by his play, and to not only be anointed as like the chosen one, the next great one, but to live up to that expectation, I think is nothing short of miraculous. So LeBron is my answer today.
All right. Dan, do you
After
have
all it? That, I thought yeah. he was going with Kobe, you know?
Yeah.
I guess it's not really a Rags to Riches story.
First of all,
that guy grew
he's
up,
not even
right?
close yeah, to Beam the greatest basketball player ever, but I'll leave that aside for a future time. Yes.
How about a guy born in Harlem, 1929, yes. opens up a bunch of dry cleaning stores throughout New York City, but in a fictional right. way, that being George Jefferson,
yes.
moving on up. Starts with as a side character on a TV show and moves on up to his own TV show itself, The Jefferson's Dom.
Moving on up. That's the theme of the song. And he, at the old station, was out there several times. I met him once.
Oh, yeah?
A very personable guy. I didn't think he's going to start screaming and doing it. Yeah. Him and Archie, that was an all-time Carol O'Connor.
And how about
brilliant stuff.
Growing up in the hills of Tennessee, one of 12 right. kids in a one-room cabin, that okay. Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton is a great one. Excellent. I don't know if she's a billionaire, but she's 100 millions. All right, 855-839-1210. So hit us real or fictional. with somebody that is a rags to riches. And I don't remember reading Horatio Alger. Speaking of which, seeing A.J. Brown reading Inner Excellence yesterday on the bench to find peace, it's an all-timer. It's something that you cannot imagine somebody coming up with. I don't know. It's the worst thing in the world. I mean, he knows what he's going to do. And I don't think between plays, he's analyzing his stride or something.
If you tune in, youtube.com/@12mwpht, what do we see Dom read during the breaks?
I'm going to get
The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
I'm going to get Inner Excellence. Now, I'm reading a book on the mob and the Kennedys, and the Kennedys right now are even worse than even I would make them. Except for one thing. Bobby Kennedy, the book attacks him. Deported this mobster who was here illegally in New Orleans, the mob head, for 10 years. Dropped him off in an airplane in Honduras, just right there at the side of the road. Now that's a good deportation policy. Yeah.
Does it delve into Rosemary at all, the book?
No, I haven't seen anything on that yet with the Kennedys. No, it's not all about the... It's about the whole sweep of it with the mob in America, and the Kennedys is a large part of it, yeah.
Huh.
I'd recommend
Sounds
it. But I have to get Inner Excellence, though. I never would have guessed it. I guess I'm stereotyping. Didn't strike me, but A.J. Brown says he reads two books a month.
Is that
pretty
Private
good.
Parts by Howard Stern that Dom's reading there during the
Yeah, what is it that we have here? Each day we'll have another Book of the Month Club. I'll hold something up. I'll bring it from home.
Are you still doing that at home with Ro?
Yeah. Sure.
What's the book club reading right now?
What's the next one?
Henry, this is what happens every time I ask you about the book
club. Yeah, we're on a hiatus, and I think there's a battle going back and forth between what the choice should be.
How about that Kennedy book?
Nah, they don't like it. It's a lot of people.
Do you ever
get
to choose? I mean, they should get some political thrillers in there.
No, they like fiction. Roe and other women in there, it's just it's an uphill battle. They dominate it. DJ just goes along, pretends he reads it, then talks for an hour.
You DJ and a bunch of women reading Tom Clancy's next novel.
And Luke, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Now, we did read an O'Reilly killing book once.
No, they didn't
particularly like Killing Reagan. Yeah, Killing Reagan. All right. 855.
Very interesting.
839-1210. That will get you in. Hit us with that. And also, why are people upset with this January 6th thing? Are you one of them? J.D. Vance said it exactly right. We're not going to pardon everybody. No, that's not the point. We are going to pardon and or commute those that have been punished excessively or essentially did stuff that was a misdemeanor or pretty much did nothing at all. They're going to be freed on day one. That's exactly right. That's the difference. We're not giving pardons out like Biden. By the way, the Biden people saying this week they're going to announce a bunch of preemptive pardons. People who allegedly did nothing wrong, but Biden is pardoning them in advance. 855-839-1210. We'll get you on board.
Nothing that we did is going to be in vain. This is a good day for Philadelphia. Big gulp. Yes. Big gulp. Absolutely. Curveball. But let me tell you something. The news could have been different on today. And I don't have the luxury as the mayor to allow my pride, my ego, or my emotions to drive my decision making. I am driven by that revenue. And I made a commitment, a personal commitment. Safe, clean, green, economic opportunity for all. Right now, what are we going to be doing? We got a budget, Mr. President, that we have to work on right now. We also are going to work on housing. If people want to know what's on the agenda right now, 30,000 units of housing in the city of Philadelphia, the building of new, the preservation of existence, public, affordable, workforce, market rate, single family dwelling, mixed use, you veterans, seniors, you name it, we're working on putting together the plan in order to make it happen. But I'm grateful And I needed to say this, and I needed to be transparent, because I've been, what do you call it when they don't allow you to watch the news? Is it encumbered? I haven't been able to watch the news or sequestered. Is that it, Mr. President? They've had me sequestered in the bunker over the last 72 hours, so I couldn't look at social media. I haven't been able to read the papers.
All right. I'm getting a little tired.
Our decision-making was not in vain.
Yeah, not in vain. This is the spin. Now, Bob Brady, who was one of the forces with this, so they went after him on it. So what's wrong with this, Dom? That's what Roe was asking me until DJ came over yesterday and started to go through exactly what I would say. Councilman Harrity, for example, from Kensington, said, I feel like we were used. We were pawns. Of course you were. Wasn't the whole idea, oh my God, how bad it is over on A Street in Center City. No, the whole idea is this. You have, again, owners, and as far as spending money for the Sixers, Josh Harris does, but you have these owners who realize that sports are like crack cocaine, even the Sixers. In big cities, the argument is you have to have them, you have to pay them. Now, the Phillies are essentially tremendous hometown and all that, okay? But in this instance, we had a situation where they knew all along they might be able to drive Comcast toward this. I'm going to ask Bob Brady straight up, so I haven't seen it in print, is any taxpayer money going to be involved with this? And again, why would you need to rip down one and build another? It's all about increasing the value of the Sixers. It is good. It's not going to be downtown. It is good. The Chinatown thing, etc. But this was a move that called the bluff, I guess, of Comcast to get them to do this. And why go through this charade? 2 years of it, I told you exactly what was going to happen. They would get their way. Why? Because you have this alliance of the building trades, many of whom are these white guy union types, and you have the black clergy of Philadelphia. You put those two things together, and they're going to do what they want. And essentially, they told Chinatown, you're only Asian, you're not a real minority, we don't care about all that history in Chinatown and all the back and forth. Doesn't matter. We're going to do it. Evidence of this. If this were so important to do all this stuff, they would have done it down there. They're the ones that said it. I'm the one that told you it's nonsense about revitalizing Center City. Why is it going to be where it started? Well, because that's the best place to have sports in Philadelphia. It's the most convenient, least disruptive, et cetera.
Yes. Council President at Large, or Councilman, I think, Isaiah Thomas, I think this is who this is. Let me make sure.
Don't tell me.
Who is this? I got to find out who it is first before I get
okay.
There. Sorry about that.
He might agree with, I never agree with
no,
that.
It's, no, it's
Working Families.
Is it Kenyatta, maybe?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, that he's still beat all the charges. That guy. That's the city council president so far. Yes. God. So do they feel you? No, the mayor is a joke on this. Come on. You were used in this. That's why you just said the 72 hours and all the rest of it. Is it a good thing they're there and not in Chinatown? Yes. But using all this public attention, all this subterfuge. Again, the bottom line is that they know people want sports, big time sports. So the argument now is the wonders that this is going to create. What it creates is more value for Josh Harris and his partners. That's the bottom line in the end. And it's not capital. There's a difference between capitalism and crony capitalism, corporate capitalism. This stuff with sports teams has always been corporate capitalism. They have the wedge. I think the Eagles could ask for just about anything. And can you imagine, way back when, Leonard Toews, it was very close. It was the Wilson Good administration. And the Eagles were actually more than threatening. They were going to go to Phoenix. And at the 11th hour, they gave them what they wanted. Now, that's back when the Eagles were, you know, people love the Eagles and all that stuff, but it's not like it is now. Now, I can't imagine the passion other than soccer teams, maybe in a particular city. It's unrivaled. You could see it all over the place. even if they're not wildly successful like last year, it doesn't matter. And this year, it's even more apparent. All right, so we'll talk to Bob Brady about that at 1 o'clock today. But now we don't have to go through, are they going to make SEPTA safe and the whole song and dance. Just think of the charade. All the while in their back pocket, they had Comcast. And it's rare where Comcast kind of is the one that folds. Not the Sixers, though. All right, let's go to Tom in Jersey. Tom, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Tom, good afternoon.
How you doing today, Dom?
Good, Tom.
My side question answer is Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor.
Why that? Yeah.
Well, he's poor. He won that $30 million, and then that was just to get the $300 million. To me, I think that's rags to riches.
Oh, yeah, definitely rags to riches. Okay, thank you, Tom. Worthy to start with. Real or fictional, we'll take either one. By the way, I just saw it announced, the program. I can't see all of it here. It's on Twitter. It's a little bit blank, but Carrie Underwood is performing at the Trump inauguration. Now, I'm not sure if she's the featured act or not. I would give that a B. You know, many Republican presidents couldn't get Carrie Underwood or someone like that. Would George W. Bush get Carrie Underwood? I don't see it. Is that the heavy? If that's the heaviest hitter for the inauguration, then I might give it a B. I'll let you know if I see others. Let's see who Trump is able to attract to perform at the second inaugural, because if you do, you know there's problems. All right, coming up, the great Colonel Alan B. West is with us because tomorrow we have the kickoff of the confirmation hearings, the biggest one, without a doubt. Will it be the most contentious is Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense? All right, there's a lot of things here. Alan West, political analysis and the military analysis, second to none. And hit us today, Horatio Alger, the all-time rags to riches. I don't know what his most famous was, but that's essentially what he did. A lot of Americans don't believe in that anymore. They think that's just made up. Well, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have experienced it. All straight ahead. Talk Radio 1210.
Trustim Will knows that we'll all eventually need a will. How about right now? Trustim Will makes creating your will easy. Like while you're lounging on the couch easy. Trustim Will is designed by attorneys but customized by you, and all documents are state specific and secure. Find your plan at trustimwill.com and use offer code RADIO now for 10% off. That's trustimwill.com, offer code RADIO. Trustim Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustimwill.com for details.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
When you look at your kids or grandkids, you can't help but wonder. You wonder what their world will be like in 20 years. Then you think about yourself. What will your life be like when you step away from work and into retirement? There are a lot of things you can't control, but with the right planning, there are some things you can. At Spectrum Wealth Partners, our portfolio X-ray is designed to show you how you're doing so far and what your monthly income will look like in the future. In other words, they can take you from wondering to knowing. So take control of your financial future. Call today for a complimentary evaluation. 856-322-8686 or at spectrumwp.com. And tune into The Retirement Spectrum with Alan Cohen. Saturdays at 3 here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Advisory services offered through Concurrent Investment Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Concurrent Investment Advisors, LLC, and Spectrum Wealth Partners are not affiliated companies.
Hair Volume is the best selling hair tablet in the world and one of the many award-winning natural hair products from New Nordic. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or CVS.
Keep free speech alive. Follow 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
show. So finally, after all these weeks, tomorrow the real action starts. We have several confirmation hearings and more throughout the week. But the main event, Pete Hegseth, who, based on insiders, appears to have a clearer path than in the beginning to being Secretary of Defense. Joining us is Colonel Alan B. West. Colonel, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Dom, and I'm sure you guys still celebrate your playoff victory yesterday, and the Eagles look pretty good.
Well, they looked, the Packers just looked.
They stunk it up. Yeah.
You know, it's an unraveling, too, though. Undisciplined, kind of. You know what I mean? Just not what I was expecting. Or are the Eagles that good? We'll see. So, Colonel, let's put on the political hat for a moment. Are you in the camp, people you talk with? I hear all this people tell me they believe that Hegseth, not a sure thing, but he's turned the corner in which to be a marginal confirmation before that it's better than 50-50. He'll be confirmed.
Well, I don't know if he's turned the corner, but I think that the GOP senators don't want to undermine him, and he's getting his day in the hearing tomorrow. But look at the objective of the Democrats. They're going to try to embarrass him, harass him, and make him so toxic that Republican senators will not want to associate themselves by way of a vote to confirm him. And so I think that's going to be the big concern tomorrow, is how damaging will things be for Pete when you look at the opposition, like Tammy Duckworth and Richard Blumenthal. And Richard Blumenthal should recuse himself. I mean, here's the guy that lied about serving in Vietnam. That's the last person that should be talking to anyone about, you know, integrity or character, what have you. But we know that that's not something that the Democrats possess anyhow. So I think that the objective tomorrow is to, try to embarrass Pete, to make it very a bad situation, put Republicans in a bad position in supporting him going forward for confirmation.
So, Colonel, I saw this and I thought of you immediately, too. A study out because of Hegseth coming up saying half of Army senior officers turned down a command position just to continue in the staff level. So there's no pressure on them. My goodness.
Yeah, I read that. And it's very, it's very telling. Because what is happening in our military is that they see these policies that are coming down. They don't think that they can be successful commanders when they're told that their focus has to be on DEI, CRT, transgenderism, better pronoun usage, and all of these things. They're not having the ability to go out and train. I give you a great case in point because I'm still kind of connected. The Apache helicopters that are out there in Alaska with the airborne division there, they have not had blades for about 30 to 45 days. So in other words, our entire Apache helicopter fleet, attack helicopter fleet of the United States Army in Alaska has been grounded because they haven't had the blade replacement. So why would you want to be in command of a unit when these are the type of things that you're facing? It's not something that you can control yourself, but this is based upon the policies and the mismanagement and the logistical non-support that you see coming from above. Just the same as you can't go out and train your artillery units when you're depleting your artillery stocks. So, yes, there are a lot of people that are saying, I want to stay in the military, but I'm not going to put myself at risk in a command position.
It seems to me in a situation like that, not just particularly in the military, but in, say, if it was in sports or whatever, you need somebody that says, we don't need to study here. You're going to get those blades there. Not after breakfast, you know, Shawshank Redemption. Not after lunch, but now. Somebody's got to do it. I mean.
Well, that's the thing. There is no emphasis. There's no sense of emergency. There is no sense of military readiness and preparedness. And again, this has been something that has been cancerous for the past four years of this Biden administration. And it's going to be interesting. He's supposed to give a speech about foreign policy today. What the heck is he going to talk about? You have a failed military. You have a failed foreign policy, failed national security policy, a wide open border. But this is why people are just sitting back saying, you know, I will wait and see what the new commander-in-chief and his initiatives will be. But right now, no, nobody wants to be in a command position.
Women in combat. Hegseth, look, you know, talk radio. I think you filled in. You've done a lot, as much media as anybody, your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, you're provocative, maybe a bit edgy on something. He said some things about it. I don't see the wisdom of this, but what are your thoughts, someone who's actually done it, women in combat?
It is very simple. First of all, it's not women in combat. Anybody that's deployed to a combat zone is in combat. What we're talking about is women in combat duty positions and billets. And the thing that I just very simply ask folks, right now, do men and women compete in figure skating? Do men and women compete in gymnastics? Do men and women compete in hockey? And so if we are recognizing these separations between men and women in, you know, downhill skiing or slalom skiing or things of this nature, ski jumping, then how can we sit back and say that men and women are equal when it comes to being mano-a-mano on a battlefield? The only thing that rules on a battlefield, if you have to go hand-in-hand, is who is going to overpower the other person. And I don't think that, you know, I'm 63. I got up this morning. It was 26 degrees. I still knocked out 3.5 miles. There are not a lot of 63-year-old females that may want to do that. And furthermore, there are not probably a lot of 30 to 40-year-old females that you would put into a ring against me for a boxing match. So I think that we have to be very honest about these discussions that we're having, because national security is not about equity. It's not about inclusion.
They are going to argue, though, Colonel, you know this, that and that's where Pete has a lot of experience, I'm sure he'll be able to answer, that it's not like that now. They want to tell you it's just a push-button war. We're going to be playing video games.
Oh, really? Okay, so tell that to the special operators that are out there hunting down jihadists. Mm-hmm. Tell that to the guys that went into the tunnel after al-Baghdadi. Tell that to the Navy SEALs that went across border after Osama bin Laden. No, you know, we have this mindset that it's all about drones and technology. Look, war is about fighting, and fighting is about killing. And it is still about you, you know, being able to go hand to hand. And if it comes to it, you have to put a bayonet in somebody else. That's what war is about, inflicting your power and your desire to survive against someone else. And so this is now, again, this is not about equity. It's not about inclusion. It's not about technology. It's about your fighter being able to win on the battlefield. It's still about being a warrior.
Colonel Pete Hegseth, too. I saw a lot over the weekend building up for this unending wars, the Trump doctrine. He fits that. I mean, Democrats seem like they come close to defending. Well, they do. They don't seem to get it. People die in these and we forget about them.
Yeah.
A little while later, most of these conflicts, that's what happens. We don't fight them to any kind of goal. Plus, they go on for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you have to go in there and say that we're fighting to win. One of the things that I saw in my 2.5 years in Afghanistan is that we got focused on, you know, nation building and democratic institutions and all of these things, instead of being focused on one single thing, crushing the enemy and making sure that they do not have the ability to be restored or resurrected and be an effective combat force on the battlefield. And so I think that we have to move away from occupation warfare. I think we need to move more so toward enemy-oriented operations, strike operations, go in and hit them quickly and then withdraw, not sit around and worry about building roads and things of that nature. That's up to somebody else. The military, like Colin Powell is, you know, once said, is about going in, breaking stuff and killing people, and that's what we have to get back to.
Colonel, is there any other confirmation you pay particular attention to? Gabbard, the intelligence level?
I'm not sure
if that's... I wanted to ask you this. 702 policy has been tightened up to protect our personal liberties. I'm in that camp that thinks it has. She now, at kind of the 11th hour, has said, okay, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I saw her change her tune on that. You know, I was never a really big fan of the Patriot Act because when Mueller was up there and I was in Congress, I asked him to come over and give me a briefing about that, you know, with the FBI and how it had been positively used. And so we got to be careful to make sure that things that seem that they're going to work for the good of the American people and our security are not in the wrong hands, because we saw what could happen with those FISA courts and systems. So I think it's very important that she articulates those safeguards that preserve the civil liberties of American people, but focus on the enemy. Because guess what? Look what happened on New Year's Day in New Orleans. So how can we still have these types of catastrophic failures with the guy that made videos and posted videos? Why was there a be on the lookout, a Ebola alert that was put out there? We got to start surveilling and look at some of these mosques. This mosque that this guy attended said, we're not going to talk to anybody at the FBI, you know, refer them to CARE. We know the background of CARE. So we still have some intelligence problems here. I don't want to see any more of these pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist organization rallies. So let's start focusing on bad people and making sure that that's why we do have these type of statues in place. Because the guy in New Orleans, guess what? He traveled over to Cairo, Egypt. Who did he meet with? Who did he go with? Mm. We should have known that a long time ago.
Colonel, partying area, California, Republicans saying, all right, we're going to chip in a lot of federal money, but strings will be attached. What kind of strings would you try to attach? It's both the rebuilding, I worry about the corruption, but also mm-hmm. the policies. They're going to continue the same policies. How can we make people whole and yet get a change?
Well, that's the thing. You can't throw good money after bad policies. So I'd say that Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, we're not going to be investing in California. You all still in leadership positions. We're going to look at the people that are in charge of the L.A. Fire Department. We're not about DEI hires. We want to see some measurable differences before one penny of taxpayer dollars goes into California. And I think that's something that the entire population of the United States of America will agree with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where do we find all things Colonel Alan B. West?
Well, you can find me at the American Constitutional Rights Union, theacru.org. I'm on Substack. I have my podcast, Steadfast and Loyal, and on all the social media, but not with that Communist Chinese Party TikTok crap. If you want to talk about the intelligence communities, why do we have the Communist Chinese Party all over the United States of America? Talk about foreign intelligence surveillance.
Thank you, Colonel. As always, a whole lot today. Thanks, Colonel West.
God bless. Take care, Don.
God bless. Colonel West, always, I got up out of bed 3.5 miles. Oh, my God. Unbelievable guy. All right. You heard what he said about Tulsi Gabbard, Patriot Act, how that will come up. But what he said about Pete Hegseth, they're going to get into the tattoo. Elizabeth Warren particularly doesn't like the tattoo, says it's white supremacy. There's no evidence of that. It's going to be a, I didn't know that the senator from Connecticut, Dick Blumenthal, would be one of the inquisitors. Oh, my God. Tough to take. All right. Here's how you get in, though. Hit us on a side question, too, at 855-839-1210. Somebody who went rags to riches, Horatio Alger Day. And again, the 1 o'clock, Bob Brady will be here. I know he's on board. I think he's one of the architects of this deal. I'll ask him straight up. You mean to say there's no taxpayer money involved with this whole Comcast / Sixers Flyers along for the ride deal? I mean, it's hard to
believe.
This
press conference, man, is fascinating. It's like a skit. Well, at one point, what I was going to play earlier, we're not going to play it, though. It's not really worth it. Yeah. Council President Kenyatta Johnson came on and tried to give his own spin and saying that, you know, this is doubly good for the city. Now we got two investment projects going on, one in South Philly, one in East Market. So, you know, it's a win-win for everybody and really trying to spin it in their favor. Oh, man, this is a very good example, I guess, of politicking by Sherelle when asked by a reporter. Do you want to do this now or do you want to do this after the break?
Yeah, sure.
So asked by a reporter, you know, how can she trust that, you know, they already kind of reneged on a deal against her, right, once. So how can they trust that this deal is going to stand and they're not going to do it all over again to try to, you know, screw the city again? Listen to her Newt Gingrich, I guess-esque response, Dom. Take a listen.
Liz, thank you.
Mayor Parker, you're standing here coming before the city with a lot of powerful men.
Yes.
Number one, were you blindsided? Do you feel used? And number two, how do you trust that these men won't change their minds again about this
deal? Tell me your name again. Liz, thank you so very much for that question. It's a very important one. Liz, when I ran for office and I asked people of the city of Philadelphia to give me a chance to be their CEO, the mayor of the city of Philadelphia, first woman, 100th mayor in 341 years. I told them something on the trail. I traveled across this city to neighborhoods, no matter the race, class, socioeconomic status. I wasn't a chameleon. My message stayed the same. I'm prepared to meet this moment. I'm going to be ready on day one. When I think about the kind of black swan events that other mayors across this nation are dealing with right now. Mayor Karen Bass in Los Angeles. I'm thinking about LaToya Cantrell and what she just experienced in New Orleans. I'm thinking about Michael Nutter and what President Barack Obama called the worst economic recession since the Great Depression.
I'm thinking
about Mayor Kenney in a global COVID-19 pandemic that no one, I don't care how brilliant you were, you would not have been able to control for. I'm prepared to meet this moment. Now, did I know? Was I at the meeting before the meeting to say that this negotiation was going to take place? Absolutely not.
How is that possible?
I'm still the CEO of this city.
Why were you not there?
My job is to develop East Market Street, to see a new arena, to build that battery, to grow the next generation of skilled workers, to make sure SEIU and Unite here is put to work, and I'm going to hold 10 more. I'm going to hold 10 more town hall meetings when they finally get the plan, while the council president and his team are working on the hearings. Y'all will be going through the legislative process, and they're going to say, oh, Lord, here comes this long-winded lie.
She wasn't even in the meetings. What an admission of how ridiculous this was. And you're right, to stand up there and go through a whole thing about being the CEO. Yeah, they were negotiating all this. I didn't know about it. Who really runs Philadelphia? You always knew it was the unions. Why is this the last big union town? Bob Brady coming up at one. I think he was a large part of making this happen. Was he running the city? All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in right now. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Well, now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year's savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements with the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use the code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. We got a little more from this news conference at a certain point here. So, again, I'm glad for Chinatown. But what are the lessons of this? If you're Asian, you're white adjacent. You don't count. We're going to run over top of you. We don't care. Let's come up with a phony, we're going to revitalize downtown Philadelphia. And all along, let's negotiate with a group of people behind city council and the mayor. Well, what else would you do if you're the mayor other than to spin this, though, and there's something it's not?
I do have the council president if you want to hear.
Okay, here's the council president, Kenyatta Johnson, on Spin Cycle.
Today is still a win for the city of Philadelphia. When I woke up this morning, Sherelle, I was, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I'm talking to my Lord, and, you know, the scripture came up and said, all things, not some things,
all things
work together for those who love the Lord. And why I say this is a win-win, from day one, the goal was to making sure we keep the Sixers in the city of Philadelphia.
That's right.
Now, some folks say they was pump faking, right? I know a little bit about business, though. Somebody put $800 million in front of you, you have to take that
seriously,
right? And then I start thinking, when I'm in the neighborhood, and I don't know who y'all was listening to, but when I'm in South Philly and Point Breeze, they said, don't lose no Sixers.
That's right.
we may not reelect you. And so for me, it sounds better to have the Philadelphia 76ers than the New Jersey 76ers. And so
they're really going to go over to Camden, the Sixers. As much as I love basketball, let them go. Take the whole nonsense with them. Give me a break. When are we going to get out of this idea that you have to have the sport. The Sixers of all teams, what are the Flyers going to do that? What should the Eagles do that? The Eagles ought to say, here are our demands. We want you to drop $1 billion right there at the feet of Jeffrey Lurie by noon today. If the Sixers left Philadelphia or threatened them, now that's a real problem. I don't know what the, you know, what lines of communication they have there, but I bet there's an out clause.
Yeah.
And they can go and play in Camden. Well, it's always
that. They threatened to do that. They threatened to play in Camden and in Wilmington, and the Sixers or the city bought it hook, line, and sinker. They didn't call their bluff at all.
Right. Exactly.
There's a moment where it's almost like a, yeah, we got you by Josh Harris, because here you'll hear the council president say one more thing, and I'll let you know what happens. Take a listen.
And so I do say hats off to Comcast and Brian Roberts and David Blitzer, Josh Harris and David Adelman for coming together.
Yes.
Now, some people may or may not notice, these two corporate giants been fighting back and forth.
Yes.
Throughout this process, I would talk to Dan, and when Dan would come to my office with my good friend Rob Murray, I better give him an offer they can't refuse. And so we would talk and go back and forth throughout this legislative process. But I recognize, because we have a partnership to still focus on revitalizing Market Street East, this is a process of addition and not subtraction.
Yes,
Now we have two economic development projects taking place instead of one, right? And so I'm also getting up this morning, John, and I'm talking to my Lord, and then he also said Ephesians 7:8, right? And it talks about sometime the end is better than the beginning.
Wow.
Well, what does that
mean?
Well,
Parker,
yeah, we started off with a proposal to go downtown, right? But this is a win-win, because Plan B is better than Plan A.
That's right.
Now we're going to double the revenue, right? We still focus on making sure Black and brown and women-owned businesses have a seat at the table in the stadium that will be built in South Philadelphia, as well as the projects that will take place along East Market Street. That mission still has remained the same, making sure young Black men have an opportunity, Mr. Boyd, to participate in the building trades. That's still the same mission, making sure Black and brown and women-owned businesses also have an opportunity to participate in the professional services contracts that will take place in that new arena in South Philadelphia. So today is a win for the city of Philadelphia.
Yes.
We'll have that opportunity, and people are going to say, well, let's play Monday morning quarterback, Mr. Mayor. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Right. All I ask, though, I have only asked this one thing.
Oh, boy.
Right, just one small statement. I wish y'all could have got the deal done before we actually start the process. And here's why. We don't regret.
And then Josh Harris comes over and pats him on the shoulder in a very odd way.
Oh, yes.
My members and I do not regret.
You know what, buddy? You know what? Stop bringing God into it, you disgrace. Stop bringing God into it, all right? Do your nonsense. Stop with the scriptures. You beat the federal charges and all the rest of it. Stop talking about God. Mike, just stop it. Just stop it. Sacrilegious. All right, coming up, Bob Brady here on Talk Radio 12 Tap.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.